A shrewd look came into Griffin's eyes.
You wouldn't by any chance be on the run from the law, would you, Mr. Jones?
Without hesitation, Pice shook his head.
No, sir. My wife and I, we're on our way to the Brazos River, looking for a likely spot to settle down.
Rachel turned her head to look at Griffin and nodded silently. Griffin touched a couple of fingers to the brim of his hat and said politely,
Ma'am.
He looked at Pye again.
You're not a deserter yourself.
No, sir. I was at Vicksburg when Pemberton surrendered to the Yankees and was mustered out there.
That was another lie, of course, but Pye thought it was a convincing one, and one that Griffin would not be able to disprove without having to go to a lot of trouble.
To tell you the truth, he continued, the only reason I was worried about you being a lawman was because you said I killed that fella.
Griffin laughed lightly at that.
You wouldn't be in any trouble for that, I reckon. The closest county seat is Weatherford, and the coroner there wouldn't be too happy with me if I hauled the bodies of three obvious criminals all the way back there for an inquest. No, we'll just plant them here and write up a report that says they met their maker while resisting arrest. Thanks, Captain. Rachel and me just want to get on where we were going and find some good land to light on.
Well, plenty of that along the Brazos,
the ranger called Kurt said.
Better head on it. Huh. But the best of it's been gobbled up already by this fella who started a ranch there for the war.
He grinned at Griffin.
Ain't that right, Captain?
What this knothead is trying to say is that I've got a spread there myself,
Griffin said as he jerked a thumb in Kurt's direction.
The JG connected. That's where we're heading now. In fact, as soon as we get these renegades in the ground, would the two of you like to ride with us?
Pye looked at Rachel and saw her eager nod. Although the risk involved with spending a lot of time with these rugged frontier lawmen made him a little nervous, he knew what Rachel was thinking. The same thought had gone through his mind. As long as they were riding with the ranger patrol, they wouldn't have to worry much, if any, about running into Comanches or more deserters.
We'd be much obliged for the company, Captain,
he said, in answer to the invitation.
Oh, it's settled then.
Griffin turned away and lifted the lantern.
All right, boys. Some of you break out your shovels. We got some digging to do.
While several of the rangers dug a common grave for the three dead renegades, Griffin checked the wounds on Pye's back. As he had told Rachel, they didn't amount to much more than scratches. None of the pellets had embedded themselves. Griffin got a bottle of whiskey from Kurt's saddlebags.
I just use it as medicine,
Kurt said with a grin, and gave it to Rachel along with a cloth.
Clean the wounds with that,
Griffin told her.
It'll keep them from festering.
I know. I've patched up bullet holes before, she said. Griffin looked at the two of them curiously as Rachel tended to Pye's wounds.
Where are you folks from?
Mississippi,
Pye said.
How about you, ma'am?
I'm from Mississippi, too, Rachel said.
That wasn't true. She had been born and raised in Louisiana, on a plantation not far from Baton Rouge. But the ranger didn't need to know that. She and Pye had discussed the need to keep their background vague, just in case Grat ever came searching for them.
What made you decide to come to Texas?
The question seemed innocent enough. Pye had the feeling that Griffin was just being friendly and making small talk, but the knowledge that the man was a lawman was still in the back of Pye's head, and he knew he wasn't going to forget it.
A friend of mine, in the army, talked about it all the time, Pye said.
That was almost true. Corey had been fascinated by Texas and the idea of coming here. He just hadn't been in the army, not officially.
He got me to thinking that I ought to see the place too.
There's nowhere better on earth, Griffin said. I was born here myself. My folks came down here from Connecticut and were part of Stephen Austin's original colony. My pa was at Washington on the Brazos when the old Texicans decided that they'd had enough of Mexico running things. He was at San Jacinto, too, when Sam Houston routed the Mexican army and grabbed old Santa Ana. I'm old enough to remember the runaway scrape before that, though, when families all over Texas had to pick up and leave their farms to keep the Mexicans from wiping them out. That was after the Alamo.
Sounds like you and your folks were part of just about everything that made Texas what it is.
Griffin grinned. That's true of nearly every man in this patrol. Us Texans haven't had time yet to grow really deep roots, but the ones that are there are strong, mighty strong.
How do you feel about folks moving in from other places?
It's just fine with me and most that I know. There's a saying some of the newcomers have, I wasn't born in Texas, but I got here as fast as I could. You can't help but like somebody who feels like that.
Pye nodded.
Sounds good to me.
He winced as Rachel swabbed the bullet gashes on his back with the whiskey-soaked cloth. Then he put his torn shirt back on. The burying was just about finished. When the last shovelful of earth had been patted down, one of the rangers took off his hat and said a short prayer. Pye didn't feel much like praying for the souls of the departed, since they'd planned on killing him and raping Rachel before they murdered her as well. But out of respect for the rangers, he lowered his head. He didn't close his eyes, though, and he hoped the three renegades had wound up shaking hands with the devil in Hades.
We'll be moving on for a while, Griffin said. Probably make camp for the night a little farther west.
Pye nodded.
That's fine with us. I don't much want to stay here tonight anyway, after what happened.
He saddled their horses, then helped Rachel mount. Taking the mule's reins, Pye swung up into his own saddle and heeled his horse into a walk. He and Rachel rode at the front of the group, next to Griffin and Kurt. The moon rose brightly behind them. The glowing orb was nearly full and cast plenty of silvery illumination over the rolling, tree-dotted landscape.
They call that a Comanche moon, Griffin said. War parties used to raid by its light. A Comanche just like other Indians, didn't cotton much to fighting at night, but they did plenty of it when the moon was that bright. Still do sometimes.
Rachel asked, We won't run into one of those war parties, will we, Captain?
Not very likely, ma'am. We haven't had any reports of raids in this part of the country for quite a while. One thing about Texas, though, anything is possible.
I could believe that. If anyone had asked him a few hours earlier what the likelihood was that he would be riding with a troop of Texas Rangers before the night was over, he would have said it was pretty damned unlikely. After several miles, Griffin called a halt in a clump of trees atop a hill. In case of trouble, this place could be defended quite easily. The Rangers made a cold camp, eating a supper consisting of strips of jerky and biscuits left over from that morning's breakfast. They offered to share their food with Pye and Rachel, but Pye explained that they had already eaten. At least two rangers were on guard all night, but the hours passed peacefully, and the whole group was on its way again not long after sunrise the next morning, following a breakfast of bacon, freshly cooked biscuits, and roasted grain coffee. The real thing seemed to be in short supply here in Texas, just like it was everywhere else in the Confederacy. Griffin said they would reach his ranch, the J.G. connected, before the day was over. Griffin's mount was a beautiful animal, Pye thought, as he studied the horse. Powerfully built, the horse looked like he could run all day if need be. He had a sleek sorrel hide the color of burnt copper, a white face and legs, and an arrowhead-shaped white mark on the left side of his neck. There were also white markings on both sides of his belly,